Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Renee from Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by. I am going to give it another shot tonight. For those of you who join me on a regular basis, you know last week was a very strange week. Wednesday and Thursday night, I had great difficulty in producing a show for everybody due to technical difficulties. And then Friday, even though I was still struggling with technical difficulties, I tried to complete the show, but we had an unbelievable thunderstorm that lasted about, maybe 45 minutes here in the acreage in West Palm Beach. And knocked the phones out, the internet out. Power, luckily, was only off and on intermittently for seconds at a time. It's been a strange month here in Florida. Our weather has been very, very unpredictable, even though we are accustomed to strange weather in the summer, always very, very hot and very humid, and thunderstorms in the afternoon is pretty much the norm. But the thunderstorms we've been having have been, to quote my little dog Chewbacca, horrendous. He is so petrified, he can barely move away from the side of my leg. So that's what happened Friday night, and I did speak with Blog Talk Radio on the weekend, and they assured me everything should be fine now, so here's hoping that that's true. Now, we tried to talk about the difference and a little bit about mediums and psychics. And I said to my husband today, maybe this is a sign that somebody in our other world is telling me they don't want me to talk about this on the radio. But after contemplating that for a little while, I decided that that probably wasn't true, but it did cross my mind. So I'm going to give it another shot tonight because I really do think it's a very, very, very interesting topic. I think there's a lot to talk about it, and I think it's another one of those things that brings comfort in a world that struggles to find much comfort, especially these days. Now, I explained in the article that I found that had been written in regard to psychics and mediums. A psychic is somebody who normally can read you. They usually are near the person that they're reading, and they actually read you. And they are more into talking to you about lies ahead, about your future, and about the things that are going to be in your path, and whether or not you should, take notice of them, or whether or not you should maybe change paths. Very good. And, of course, through the years, there was always rumors about Ronald Reagan, who never did anything without a input from his favorite psychic. And there's been other presidents and other people in high places who believe in paying attention to what those of us who nourished our gift that we were probably born with and brought it to a peak where we really can help people. A lot of people that are very bright and really, really want to make the right decisions tune in to those sources. So I think it's something to be, first of all, appreciated and noticed. And if you don't believe in it, that's certainly your prerogative. If you feel that it's hocus pocus, that is also your prerogative. But I do think before we make decisions like that, you know, my famous saying is you get the rest of the story. So that's kind of what I'm offering here. So as I said, that's the difference between a psychic reads from you and tells you your future. A medium, on the other hand, mostly talks about things that have already happened and helps you get through some of the the challenges that you have already overcome in your life. And in most cases, what's the most, really the saddest thing that happens to all of us, the most challenging thing that happens to all of us, is the fact that we lose our loved ones, that we all know we're going to go to a better place at some point in time. But when you're the one left here, it's often a very sad occasion. I'm often put in mind of parents who lose children. That's got to be the worst. And, of course, young children who lose parents. That's also got to be the worst. For me, I lost my parents, my grandparents. I lost a baby sister when I was very young. But probably the most difficult challenge for me to face was losing my younger brother. And he and I were incredibly close and shared a lot in this life. And it was very difficult for me, first of all, to see him get incredibly ill with cancer and to see him go through all of the challenges to try to get rid of the cancer and still have the cancer win. So I think that a lot of times it does us some good, brings us a little joy to perhaps know that that person or persons that is no longer with us in body is still with us in soul. And it does bring some, I don't know, it brings some a little bit of joy back to you, and it also makes you realize that that this is much bigger than all of us even can begin to believe that it is. So, a medium, usually, if you'll forgive this kind of overused statement, can talk to the dead or sees dead people. And often, it comes very unclear from what I understand. There's just a presentation, and there's different ways for them to get points across to the medium so that the medium can translate and give what they're hearing or seeing to the person that they're trying to help. I've had many people approach me in my lifetime and tell me that somebody had come to them from the afterlife and told them that they wanted them to give me a message. Now, again, when I was younger, my mind might have been a little bit more closed. I might have been a little bit embarrassed to think that somebody would think that I'd believe that. I don't know. Well, God knows why you do things when you're young. Anyway, when I've been approached by things like that, though, I've always tried to treat it with an open mind. And regardless, even at the time of what I really believed or what I really thought was honest-to-goodness truth, the messages that people would give to me were wonderful, lightened my load, and made me feel, not forgotten, and brought me in touch with feelings that I had for people that have passed many years ago. Most recently, I had a friend who has just in the past couple years realized that if she tunes in, there are people talking to her. Now, that's another thing. Tuning in is important. And then once you do tune in, you have to be able to understand what you're hearing and seeing. And this friend of mine is honing those skills as we speak. So she came to my home with several people that I am very close to and gave readings. And some of them were amazing. Some of them were actually kind of comical because you never know who's going to come through when they feel your energy. And she and I spoke privately before everyone else got here. And because I'm 64 years old, I've lost a lot of loved ones. And she was kind of overwhelmed because she's new at this when she first brought my name up. And she said the room filled up immediately and it was almost too much for her to bear. And I said, well, that's probably because, there's no grandparents left. There's no parents left. There's no in-law parents left. So I've lost a lot of people. And apparently a good deal of them were here with us. So it was really, really special. And I don't know that I would suggest that everybody tries this because your mind has to be in the right place. But I do think that if you feel lost and can't get over losing someone, even if it's been 30 years, 40 years, I don't care, to hear from them, it's like getting a postcard from a friend you lost track of all those years ago. And it's just a wonderful thing. So I'm going to bring Shelly in. Shelly was one of my guests the other night, and she's also very knowledgeable in this arena, and I know she's going to have some things to add to our conversation. Shelly, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Reen?
Hi. Good, honey. How are you?
Doing good. Am I still in New York?
No, you're finally back in the land of West Palm Beach.
Oh, how cool.
So, yes, and there's no static on the line, and everything so far, knock on wood and knock on my noggin,
yep,
is good. So
good. Yeah.
I kind of continued tonight. I know you just joined me a couple minutes after I started, so you heard most of everything. And I think I'd like to open up, aside from what I've already said, and get your input in general about what you feel about the difference between mediums and psychics, and maybe share a little bit of your personal experience.
Well, first of all, I absolutely believe that we are spiritually connected. It does tend to surprise me when people struggle with going there or think that it's absurd. Almost every religion on the face of the planet believes that our life goes on. The majority of people believe that our soul lives on past the, physical body when it's when we pass on. So I don't understand why it would be so difficult to think that your loved ones would want to stay near you and watch over you and wait for you. You hear these near-death stories all the time, where people have actually physically died, but were still, their soul was still hovering near the body. They saw loved ones waiting there to take them, but made the decision to come back and actually re-entered their body, and all of a sudden they were alive again. But they were pronounced dead. There was no life in their body, and in some cases this would go on for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or up to an hour or more. These people were clinically dead, and yet they returned to their body, and they all had very consistent stories. There's so much evidence that our soul survives the death of the physical body and that loved ones stay nearby to guide you. So the fact that people would be there and want to still communicate with you is not, I don't think it's a stretch at all. I think it's a very natural thing to expect, because, number one, I do believe that the soul continues on, and I think most people believe that. So it really shouldn't be such a stretch. But the difference between psychics and mediums, I had these couple of books by Cindy Dale. I wanted to actually read her description, because she's actually both. She's the psychic medium. And I know that there is a little bit of a difference. The one thing I will say is that, like you said, psychics can perceive a lot of different things. Mediums are communicating with someone who has passed on. So a medium is absolutely someone who communicates with someone who's passed on. A psychic is someone who's just, like you said, picking up things. Like I had taken a psychic course once, believe it or not. I was in a workshop for a while, and we did something called psychometry. And that's, you hold an object that belongs to somebody. Metal is better because it holds energy better, but it can be anything. It can be a hairband, it doesn't have to, but it's better if it's metal. And then you'll get impressions about that person, about their health, about their life, about, different things about them. But you're not communicating with a person that's passed on. You're picking up things vibrationally about the person who whose object it is. Now, if the object is from somebody that passed on, then you might also have some sort of a mediumship connection with that person. But the psychic in itself is just you're picking up things about an individual, like you said, that's in front of you. It can be done on the phone. You know, there's no limitation for psychic ability because it's all energy. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. and this is unfortunate, it's very easy to fake it, to be a charlatan, because if you study human nature, if you study speech patterns or facial expressions, you can actually discern information about a person and then just give it back to them, and they think that you got this message about them. So one of the ways to kind of prove whether or not the person in front of you is a real psychic or just somebody who's really, really good at human behavior, all right, and more of a psychological type of a talent than not a psychic talent, is to not respond to them. As a matter of fact, if you remember what the woman who was at your house the other night did, she kept mm-hmm. saying, well, don't answer me yet. Let me see if I'm getting this right first. In other words, she didn't want mm-hmm. people feeding information to her because she wanted to see if the information she was getting was accurate. And I dealt with both types of psychics. I've dealt with psychics that just ask way too many questions, and it just gets annoying after a while. You know, mm-hmm. or they'll say, well, so-and-so, and you say, well, no, that's not wrong. Well, if that's wrong, then it has to be the other situation. So all they're doing is hit or miss. And, mm-hmm. and people that go to psychics that ask too many questions and then leave there all excited, you basically fed all the information to them and then they just gave it back to you. So you end mm-hmm. up hearing what you wanted to hear, you know. But mm-hmm. when you go to a psychic and you give them no information, and some of them will actually say that, don't give me any information, let me just tell you the impressions I'm getting, and then when I'm done, then we can discuss it and you can ask other questions. And then if they come up with, like, really specific stuff, you know, not like, I see some relative, old relative, I think male, starting with the letter M. Well, for good God, that could be just about anybody. But when they mm-hmm. say, you know, I see somebody, a tall man with, you know, thick black hair, and his name is Marty, and he's wearing, and then they describe what they're wearing and what type of profession they used to have. When they start going into real detail, then you have somebody that's legitimate, because how would they know these specifics? So mm-hmm. there are ways of knowing that you're dealing with somebody that really has a talent or that somebody that just simply has good human behavior skills or psychological skills, and they're just kind of mm-hmm. like reading you by how you answer their question. You know, so that's one thing that I would just tell people is have a comfort, and if you're not comfortable or you think the psychic or the medium is asking too many questions, then move on and find somebody else, because there are probably more legitimate psychics and mediums today than ever before, because there's so much more openness about psychic ability, and more people are starting to accept it, and more people are starting to experience things on their own. That's where a lot
right.
of acceptance is coming from. More people that don't consider themselves to be psychic are actually having experiences. So it's kind of opening that horizon for them to realize it could be real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, like you just said, there's also our own personal growth. People are a lot more in tune to what is available to them and are in a lot better place to be able to make good decisions in regard to things like this. Now, one of the very biggest, most famous stories in the world was Houdini. Houdini, who was a magician, one of the world's most renowned magicians, and yet he felt that he could get in touch with his mom after she passed. And I guess the way the story goes is I never really researched it. This is just movies I've seen and things that I've read about in passing, but that he spent his fortune trying to get a medium to get him in touch with his mom again. And
yeah.
it never happened. But again, what you just said is probably the reason was because when you want something so bad, you plan it, nurture it, and make it into what you want it to be, and then want somebody else to tell you what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's really not the way this works.
He might have gone in touch with her, but didn't identify with the message he was getting and assumed it wasn't her. And she might have contacted him or she might not have contacted him, you know? But, and he also, unfortunately, because of his fame, he might have attracted a lot of, like people that were just trying to have their own limelight, and maybe they really weren't true. You know, I don't know the whole story behind that, but I do know that there are more legitimate psychics and mediums today than ever before in history. It's just it's amazing. I personally know some. I mean, like, we have this mutual friend now. My own sister is very, very strong. She went through about a 10-year time frame where she was having some personal struggles and almost completely lost her ability, but it's in the last couple of years it's starting to come back, very, very well honed. But she's, I grew up with that, with her accuracy, with her seeing things, hearing things, actually having premonitions and having them come true. I mean, really off the wall stuff, and you're saying, oh, that's impossible, that's not going to happen. And then a week later, it happens exactly the way she had seen it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of grew up with that. So I had that's another reason. It's from my own personal people close to me that I know are legitimate. I had a dear friend of mine named Rita when I was growing up who was incredibly sensitive. She had premonitions all the time, and they would torture her because she would see things happening to people, try to tell them, they wouldn't believe her, so they wouldn't do anything different, and then whatever she saw ended up happening, and you know, people would get injured or whatever, and then they would believe her, but they would believe her after the fact, you know, and it always tortured her that she couldn't figure out a way of telling people where they would find credibility in. And yet her own life was so awful. It's like she could see into everybody else's life, but she could never see into her own. And I always felt very bad for her because she never got messages about her own life, but she constantly got messages about other people, and all kinds of stuff was always happening to her. You know, and a lot
right.
of times people will discredit a psychic because they'll say, oh, well, if they're so good, how come they didn't see this? But a lot of times that's how it works. Because they're in service to others, and they have to have whatever experience they have to have, and a lot of psychics don't see things that are going to happen in their own life, but they're very, very attuned to what's going to happen to people around them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other part of that is that because I know this can happen to me sometimes. If you are one of those kind of people who take on other people's stuff, because if you're somebody that people like to share things with, not necessarily looking for your help in something, but just know that you'll listen, and you do listen, and sometimes that can almost make you too crowded. I mean, this sounds very simple, but it almost makes you too crowded in your own mind to hold anything that has anything to do with anything else but what everybody else has given you to think about. And I think if you are a gifted medium and you are really attuned to what's happening to you and really attuned to the fact that you hear certain things and feel certain energies and pick up on things that are, it doesn't have to be bad. It's not about good or bad. It's just about information, and it's like a database. If you use up all your gigabytes, you're done. And that's the same with your own personal mind load. If everything
right.
you take in, you know, kind of overloads you so that there's no room for some of the other stuff, the truth of the matter is you don't look for the other stuff either. If I understand true mediumship, yes, you can sit down and meditate and tune in when you're trying to give somebody a reading. But that takes a lot of energy. I've watched
yes,
it several times now. It takes a lot of energy to sift through the crowd, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So say you need to do that for somebody, and you're already, like what we did here in my home the other night, I thought about afterwards, and I thought that was very unkind of me because I didn't fully understand. It was very unkind of me to put a novice, although I think she's on the right track and she's doing a wonderful job, but to put a novice in a position where she could get flooded by all the things that must have flooded her in a room with what was there. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us. Nine mm-hmm. of us waiting. Say just 5 people
right.
showed up to stick up for Rini, and 5 people showed up to say hi to Shelley and everything. That's 45 people.
Right.
Or 45 energies or 45 souls, whatever you want to think about, you know. So
but
I thought to myself, you know.
But she had a great sense of humor, and it was like when you're surrounded like that, it puts you in a position of, you talk about honing your skill, I don't
mm-hmm.
think it was mean at all. I think it actually helped her, because the bottom line is, if she is going to do group sessions, she's going to have more than 9 people. She could have as many as 20 people or 30 people in the audience. I've seen psychics
mm-hmm.
do this with 100 people in the audience, and they walk around, and the people will come to them, and they'll say, okay, I have this person here or this child here who in the audience identifies it, and then sure enough, there's somebody there that knew this person, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
So for her to start out with, you know, 6 people, I think was phenomenal. I don't think that was overbearing at all, because when I see psychics that do that, when I see mediums that do that, they usually
mm-hmm.
do it to very large audiences, and they're fine with it, because they can kind of get through the crowd, and they can figure out who's there that's really trying to get in touch with somebody. And again, these particular mediums, and some of them are very famous, these particular mediums, again, are very specific. They don't say, I have I have an older man here whose name starts with M. You know, they'll say the name. Sometimes they know the first and last name. They'll
mm-hmm.
say the person's profession, what they're wearing, how tall they are, what color their eyes are. I mean, they go on and on. A lot of times they'll say how the person died. They'll say, oh, so-and-so is here, and they were in a car accident, or they had a heart attack. So they get very, very specific. And they don't even know who this person belongs to. And then somebody in the audience will say, oh, my God, that's my uncle or my father or that was my son or something like that. And they identify with the specifics that the medium is giving out, you know, and it's pretty impressive to watch. I've seen a couple of them done like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there was who's the John Edwards there that's been on TV now for quite a while. I thought he was I thought his personality and everything lent itself very nicely to what he was doing. And I was still a little bit not in disbelief, because I feel some of those energies myself and don't know what to do with them. But I,
mm-hmm.
with John Edwards and stuff like that, I also thought to myself, some of this stuff is just like, you know, could have happened to any of us. Oh, yes, you know, you're 60-something years old, and a medium looks at you and says, you know, oh, I see an elderly lady and an elderly gentleman, and they're holding hands. Well, sure, that's my grandmother and grandfather. Or, you know, simple things like that. But
mm-hmm.
again, part of me also feels, like I said in the very beginning, I don't think that's the important part. I think the important part is what it does for the person that's receiving that postcard. That's
mm-hmm.
what I think is the beautiful thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
what happened to one of our dear friends that was seated next to you? A gesture that happened just before she never saw her father again.
Right.
I mean, that
right.
was beautiful. That was
that
really
was beautiful.
And
right.
and I don't know. I just, you know, some of it, I thought to myself, you know, that could pretty much happen to anybody. But it also amused me when we had a very young friend step up, and she said, you know, I've only ever lost 2 people, you know, that I really knew that were close to me. And I thought, gosh, that's probably true of a lot of young people, you know. I mean, a lot of young people not, but a lot of young people, yes, you know. And her great-grandmother that she barely knew came to her, because there's people that know her, just not people that she remembers. So I thought that that was kind of cool as well. Did I lose you, Shell? I think I did. Are you there? No. So she'll be back on. But I do believe that it's the joy of hearing from somebody that you've missed so much. But I also like the fact that it gives you something to look forward to. If you're one of those people who thinks when you die you go in the ground or in a lovely urn someplace on somebody's fireplace or in the flower bed or whatever, and when you're done, you're done, and this opens up a lot of other doors.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you now. You're back?
Yeah, I just never got it. All of a sudden, you just couldn't hear me anymore.
Yeah, I didn't lose you on the show. I just couldn't hear you. Are you driving?
No, I'm home. I went from one room to the other, and all of a sudden, bam, you couldn't hear me. So there you go.
Yeah, well, my cell phone's been like that at home for almost a month now. So at any rate, well, what I'm, could you hear me, Shell?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess my point is, with all of this, is again the happiness that it brings to the people who hear from the loved ones or the dear friends that they've missed for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to share. My brother, my younger brother, was only 46 when he passed, and it was 10 years ago. And since that happened, I have been invited to meet with several mediums, a couple psychics, one group where, what do you call what that reverend does, Shelley, the one that we wrote things on paper?
Blindfold billets.
Billets, right. And that was very interesting, but pretty nondescript, to be honest. I mean, some things were right on. Oh, you're an Irish family, and I mean, I look Irish, but I don't. My married name is Brewer. My maiden name was Riley. But it was still...
He's blindfolded, and he doesn't know who belongs to the paper he's holding.
Yeah,
so
I know. But I mean,
at you.
Yeah, I understand all of that. And like I said, it was worth some things, but not quite... it didn't hit home as much with me as a couple other things that I've done have done. It was, everybody. I'm this old, and I've done a lot, and I guess probably you can see that I'm a little weathered. So you should be writing a book. Almost everybody tells me that, and or you're going to write a book and be famous, and da da da. I hear that all the time. So I think, though, that what happened for me the other night was very special for me, and one of the reasons that prompted me to talk about this, because I know so many people who are so people heart sick over losing someone and miss them so much. And for the first time ever, the medium that I was with the other night said there's a tall, skinny man. He's bald, and he has just a little bit of white hair around the bottom, around the base of his head, and he keeps slapping his knees and saying, finally, I finally got through, I finally got here. And does the letter J mean anything to you? And I said, yes, that's my brother Joe. And immediately she told me things about him that were his mannerisms and only his.
Right.
You know, really, really... pinpointed mannerisms from him. And I must tell you, I feel his presence a lot, but at that point in time here in my small office, I felt his presence more than since he was gone. What that did for me, I can't even put into words.
Right.
It really, really lifted me at a time when, you know, things are a little tough with everything that's going on with my husband and my son and all these other things that are going on because I'm a little, worried. And that was just what I needed. And I guess I believe that if you are in a place like that and you're struggling with things like that, it may be the thing for you to do. It really may be the thing for you to do because it will help if you are struggling with sadness and all the other things that we all struggle with on a daily basis.
Right.
I also think, Shel, that it's an opening of of knowing that there's something after this. And I meet people every day that are just so incredibly sad. So do you. We know people that have trouble getting up every day and functioning, that there isn't much of anything that brings them any joy. And to know when you talk like this and when you hear stories about things like this, it means that there's something coming. And if you're a Christian, you believe that. And some other religions are very open about the fact that there's life after death. And I think it's good to know that in this day and age. I mean, we're talking about gloom and doom every day. Every day.
Right.
You know? So in line with what we talk about on this show, giving kindness and support and empathy, you can't give it if you don't have it. You can't share with other people kindness and friendliness and everything if you don't feel it. And this is one of those things that I think could maybe lift some people and give them a little bit more, a little bit more strength to live the everyday life. Has your mother ever seen a medium, your mom?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
does it help her?
I mean, she hasn't seen anybody recently, but when we were younger, when we were growing up, because of a lot of the experiences that Nina and I had in the house, we had actually gone to parapsychologists, we'd gone to mediums, we'd gone to psychics when we were younger to explain, because we were trying to figure out what in fact was going on in our house and why there was certain activity that there was and that kind of stuff. So we ended up finding out some pretty interesting stuff. We ended up getting, and then we ended up connecting with loved ones that had crossed over and that kind of thing. So I would say that more now, my mom hasn't been to a medium in the last, maybe 15, 20 years. Prior to that, she hadn't had anybody really significant that she had lost. It was more trying to get answers for what was happening to us. But I've seen people, and also because my sister is able to connect with some of the people, so we really don't have the need to go out to a medium. But I do enjoy the interaction. I enjoy meeting these people. And because I sort of have a sense of who is legitimate and who's not, it's actually more fun for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. And I think, you don't talk to as many people as we talk to on a constant basis and not get a feel for people. It's kind of hard to fool people who actually listen to other people talk and listen to other people's problems and converse on a constant basis with other people. It's kind of hard to fool them with, parlor tricks and stuff. I don't think you can be open-minded but not a dummy, I think you do need to choose who you see, and like you just said a few minutes ago, if they're saying stuff to you that's so obvious and you just gave it to them anyway and they just repeat it with different words, then, you have to be paying attention to that. I'll go along with that 100%. But
right.
I do think there's...
Right, and I've seen psychics that from time to time have have said something to me that was obscure, like it came out of left field. It's like, oh my God, like, and I remember I saw one psychic and she was very uncomfortable, and she was like, I don't know what this means, and she says, I don't even, she says, I'm not really sure that I should even say it, but she says, I'm going to go ahead, and she had mentioned a particular scene she saw, which was very obscure, and it was just like a flash scene, and I knew exactly what it was. Because of the person mm-hmm. that it had to do with, and I was like, I said, okay, I said that fits completely, because that's when this woman got injured, and it was an odd event. It was not the way people normally would have an accident, and so she was afraid of saying anything, and she was actually right, you know. So that's when you know that there's some legitimacy, when actually, you know, like they come up with something that's so rare and uncommon, you know, I mean, how many people have a car accident? How many people have a heart attack? You know, but when they come up with something that's really unique and rare and fits your situation, then you know you're dealing with somebody who's legitimate. And we all have something unique. Everybody has some sort of a unique thing that's happened to them in their life, or that's happened to them having to do with that person. And that's one of the ways that you can really hone in on whether or not this sensitive or this medium has your particular loved one in front of them.
Mm-hmm. 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 So tell me, did you enjoy the reading that you had the other night?
It was very unique. It was, yes, I did. And she was the first person who had ever actually, because I've had a couple people pick Jimmy up, she was the first one who ever said that he felt that he let you down. And because of what transpired after he passed away, that really was an appropriate statement. Because I had found out some things after he passed away that were a little upsetting to me. I've let it go now, and now my memory of Jimmy is, because he was a very loving man, a very sweet man, a very good man, so that I choose to hold that memory of him, all right? But I was upset with him for a long time after he passed away because of some of the things I found out that didn't sit well with me, some things that he hadn't been so truthful with me about. So for her to come up with that was very obscure. It's not the normal thing you would say to somebody. You know, usually you have some uplifting message and, you know, oh, he misses you and he still watches over you. But no, for her to come out and say he feels he let you down, that's pretty specific. That's not a commonplace thing you would hear a medium say to somebody. So it really was, that's the type of thing I'm talking about. That was not a common message. And but it absolutely fit. Now, it wouldn't have fit the other two people I was thinking about if they had come through, but it did fit that situation.
I think that's interesting in itself, and I think that again, I just thought it was good for us, and I think if there's people out there that are thinking about whether or not it would make them feel better, my input would be, first of all, understand the differences so you know what it is you're looking for, and understand what will help you and what you really want, what you really need to know, so that when you go into something like that, you know what to be thinking about, because a lot of it has to do with that as well, exactly where your head is at and what you are thinking about. So I do think it was a plus, and I was glad for sure that we did it. And there's a couple other people I'm putting in touch with this person this week because they've called me, and when I share with them, they're like, oh gosh, you've got to help me and get me in and let me talk to them. I'm hoping to be able to do that as well and see if we can make a difference with that. Now nobody's called in and nobody's written to me anything on Facebook about this, so I'm guessing nobody has any questions, but if you are out there and you do have any questions about this, or you would even like to privately know the name of the person that we've been talking about this evening, and if you'd like to get in touch with them, you can call into the show at 347-989-0352. Or if you are a medium or a psychic or somebody who is honing their skills as well, we'd be very open to hearing from you as well. I think that this might be a way to maybe bring a little bit of order back into some of the chaos. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about some pretty devastating news. It doesn't really affect all of us on a one-on-one kind of a level. It didn't really change the routine of your lives on a daily basis. But, you know, first there was the IRS, all the stuff that happened with that. There's, of course, all the things I report on a daily basis about what's happening in our schools and in our homes and the abuse and the suicides of all of our teens and all the things that we talk about on a regular basis. And there's never a day, people, that I can open up Google or Bing and look up bullying or look up any kind of school mishaps or anything that I don't find several stories. And it's not just here in the United States, it's all over the world. So one of the reasons we do this show is to hopefully open up some doors of communication and lines of communication and let people know that there's a place that they can talk without any strings attached, without any counsel that will follow unless you just want input. Today I was in a place where I happened to hear two young men talking, and they were right beside me. So, you know, I am an old lady, so I can get away with a lot of things, right? So I tapped them on the shoulder, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be eavesdropping, but I've heard some of the things you've said, and I want you to know that most of us are incredibly proud of all of you. They were young men. One was 25, the other one was 35, and they fought on the front lines. And the 35-year-old was there for 7 years. He was in Iraq. He was in Kuwait. He was all over there. Lost his wife because she left him. This is what I picked up in like 10 minutes. I mean, you know.
Wow.
So I just put my hand on their arm, and they've both been diagnosed with post-traumatic
stress disorder.
And they can't get the kind of help that they need. The one guy is trying to collect unemployment, and they're putting him through all kinds of red tape because he's also trying to use the GI Bill to go back to school. So if he wants to go back to school, he can't take a job, so he can't sign up for unemployment because if he's going to school every day, he's not available for a job. So he very smartly changed his school hours to night hours so he can be available again. So he's hoping that will make the difference. Money that they, I didn't know anything about any of these things, but apparently there's monies that they can recoup if they don't take specific vacation pay or leave pay or something along those lines, then they can actually buy them out like we would do our vacation pay.
Yeah.
And the one guy never got his, and he's still fighting to get that. But as I listen to them, and they both have problems, and they both have gotten in trouble, and they both live life a little bit on the edge, which, you know, explains wanting to be on the front zone for 7 years. But it's taken a toll on them now. And now, especially the 35-year-old, he was the one that I heard the most pain in his voice. But I gave them both my card. I said, look, I'm an old lady. I hope I'm not embarrassing you. And they said, no. And I gave them my card, and I said, if you ever feel like you just want to come and just like blah, 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 blah over the phone and not tell anybody who you are, but just complain about everything, do it, because it will help. And the one guy says to me, he says, I don't usually talk to anybody about this, but it was ironic because I turned and looked at my grandson, and I winked at him, and he smiled at me, and when we left the room, I said, he said to me, I don't usually talk to anybody, but the minute he found somebody who could just relate on the littlest level, he was like a fountain. It just poured out of his mouth all kinds of stuff and all kinds of things that hurt him and that disappointed him. And again, a lot of blame on himself. You know, I guess he got a DUI or something and spent all of his money that he earned over there buying himself a Mustang and, you know, dumb things, sure, but who hasn't done that? But I'm listening to him, and I said, please, take this card, and sometimes maybe you'll just want to call and just listen and just hear other people's stuff, because sometimes if you hear about some of the things we talk about, it puts the things that have happened to you into more perspective. This has lots of reasons for why it helps. When you hear other things going on for other people, it's not that you should be comparing or saying, oh, you know, oh, they're in worse shape than I am and stuff like that, but it is about understanding that we all have our challenges and we all have things that are going on in our lives that are, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how beautiful you are, who you are, where you live, none of that makes any difference at the end of the day. We still all have the same exact struggles and the same hurdles to jump. It really, really doesn't matter. Shelley, how many really, really wealthy people do you know that are blissfully happy? Do you know any?
Actually, yes, I do.
Who?
Some of the members in the club I joined recently.
And you would call them blissfully happy?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Gee, because yeah, I know lots and lots of wealthy people, and I don't think any of them are blissfully happy.
I was also going to say I also know other wealthy people that aren't. It has to do with your attitude and how you got your wealth and things like that. Some of the people that I have met recently that are extremely wealthy have acquired their wealth very recently through, you know, different techniques that they've learned and things like that. So they have a different mindset about life, and it's like the wealth kind of followed that. But these people are in some cases, two of them are millionaires, and the other ones are very, very well off where, you know, they have no issues. They can come up with tens of thousands of dollars at any time they need it, and, you know, it's pretty incredible. But their attitude and their happiness came first, and then it's almost like the wealth followed it. So it was it wasn't the other way around. The wealth didn't come first. The attitude came first, and then the wealth followed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a little bit different scenario, and I believe in that myself. I don't quite know how to manifest it in my own life. I do get the I get the idea. I get a lot about it, but like most people, it's hard for me to let go of some things and just be a blind believer. And I struggle with that, and I know that about myself. I can imagine, though, that actually when I was very young, now that I'm saying this and thinking about it, when I was very young, my father was the head bartender at the racket club in Bell Harbor in Miami. And we met, or he met, this husband and wife who very late in life, I don't even remember what he did, I was very young, but somehow he made himself a fortune. And my father, I remember my father telling all of us that he was not like the other wealthy people he met who would, you know, my father was the bartender and it was jump and you say how high and that was the end of the conversation. And these people, though, came to our house and we had this little Florida house in North Miami and brought gifts for my little sister and my little brother And I mean, we're like so invited us to in Bell Harbor that was like, you know, a mansion. And mm-hmm. that's what my dad said to me about them, was that they achieved something with no help from anybody else. And they were just really, really down-to-earth people, and they were very, very happy. And if you saw them on the street, you would never in a million years guess it, that they were millionaires. But until you just said all that to me, I didn't even remember them. But most of the people I know today are too worried about hanging on to their money.
Right, and that's one of the things that causes poverty. When you... You know, because I've been doing a lot of research with the law of attraction, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing about it tonight, but what's interesting about it, there's so many texts that are about it. Unfortunately, they're missing elements, and that's why The Secret was like a wonderful book, but it was missing some of the key elements that would make the that mindset work, you know. But basically, your thought patterns create almost like a magnetism, and draw into you either people or circumstances that match how you're thinking about a particular situation. So if you're thinking about, oh, my God, I don't want to lose this, you know, here I have this house and this money and I don't want to lose it, that's the energy you're putting out there. Lose. You're putting, I don't want to lose, because the energetics isn't picking up that you don't want to lose it. It's just picking up losing it. So if people could alter their mindset and just think about what they want and feel good about it while they're thinking about it, just that one simple thing, and that's hard to do, by the way, but if you if you can just get to the point where you think about what you want and feel good about what you don't think about not having it, but feel good while you're having it, you would be surprised how dramatically your life will change. And it won't change overnight, but it will change gradually more and more and more. And more you do that, the more and more. I've been practicing this for a couple of years, and very gradually my life has altered bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I'm doing things that just astonish me sometimes. But I've been practicing this for a couple of years, and in the beginning it was really hard to do it, because it was such a habit pattern to say, I don't want this to happen and I don't want that to happen. And I had to constantly teach myself how to flip it into a positive mindset. Instead of saying, I don't want this to happen, well, what do I want to have happen? I want to have this. And then look towards what I want, think about it, and feel good about it. And then stuff started happening. You've seen some of the amazing stuff that's happened to me.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing different in the last 2 years, literally, is thinking differently. And some of these other people that I've met who have been applying a lot of the same principles, it's sort of like a success club I belong to. And some of these other people I've met have, within the last few years from joining this club and learning some of the things that we learn about, you know, positive, and it's not just simply positive thinking. You can't sit in your room and think positive and people go walking with bags of money. There's some work involved.
Oh, rat, because I was going to go in the bedroom and do that right now.
But the bottom line, what happens is when you start thinking that way, the people that would put you in a position of being successful, the opportunities will present themselves, and then you have to be alert enough to take advantage of them. It's simple, but it's not easy. So that's the catch. It's a very, very simple prep.
Well, we're gonna have a night when we talk about this, and maybe you could get a couple other people to join us and maybe give everybody a little bit of a morale boost, just hearing that we have those capabilities will be good for some of us. So, but for tonight, and we made the whole show with only one losing you, so I'm ecstatically happy about that. I thought I didn't know what I was going to have to do here. So, but thanks, everybody. We finally got, I told everybody at the beginning of the night, so many troubles trying to get this psychic and medium show done. I thought maybe somebody from the other side was telling me to leave it alone.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, so thanks, honey, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night. And everybody out there, from my heart to yours, good night and God bless. And thanks for coming by. Bye-bye. Bye, Shel.
Good night. Good night, Reen.